Heavenly Father, we come before you again, thanking you again for this opportunity. Lord, let me be hidden behind your word, behind your message. Let your word come forth. Let Jesus' words come forth to speak to our hearts and convict us and glorify in you and rejoice in who he is, and thankful for his salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. As background to this, though, in John chapter 1, John the Apostle gives a different account. If you look at the other Gospels and genealogies and things, but John starts his account of the life of Jesus laying out the fact that Jesus is God. In John 1, from John 1:1 to the end of the whole book, all the way to the end of the Gospel of John, throughout, he lays out and declares that Jesus is God. And that it's Jesus who came, and in him, everyone who would believe would have everlasting life. And that's his purpose. That's John's purpose. But that's who Jesus is. And so John declares that from the very beginning that Jesus is God. So we're going to look at a few of those this morning, just a few of those declarations, the I ams, a few of those that echoes that truth, that each of those have an invitation to believe in him and receive Christ. That's the purpose. And in the Sunday school class with Michael announced on Sunday morning, going through the book of John, and that's what we were talking about this morning. John the Baptist came to declare, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And then Jesus begins his ministry. And come and follow me, declaring and teaching to make disciples, to give life and to make disciples. So that's his purpose. So we'll see those. So in John chapter 6, verse 35, and if you have that first note, the first blank, I am the bread of life. So that's your first blank. I am the bread of life. So he just very plainly begins to speak and teach. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So he's teaching them. So beginning with that, he begins to reveal that he's the bread of life. So where did this come from? You know, the crowd he had just fed, the multitude. And the crowd was looking at the physical side. So they were looking for the physical sign of being fed physically rather than hearing the message of eternal God, of eternal life. So in beginning in verse 30 then, Jesus begins to reveal that, no, I'm the bread of life. So we'll go back to verse 30. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. So he continues teaching them and saying that they were looking again for the physical sign. They say, well, wait a minute, you know, Moses gave us the manna and we were able to eat. And he corrects them and says, no, Moses didn't give you that manna. That came down from God. And it sustained the people. It met their needs. But he says, but now God is bringing you the bread from heaven that is the true bread, life everlasting. And then he says, I am that bread. Then you go down to verses 41 to 51. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Verse 48. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread. Verse 51, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So again, he's saying, I am God. I am the true bread. I will feed you. And if you partake of me, you will not die. It's not the physical bread, and then your fathers died physically. He's saying, no, I will give you life. I will give you eternal life. Now, remember what death is. Death is physically. Our spirit and soul are separated. The body goes into the grave, but we don't die. But he says, if you believe in me, you will live. Death, the eternal death, if without him, is separation for all eternity. But he says, if you believe in me, if you partake of me, you will have eternal life. You will not die. So then we go to the next. In John chapter 8, verse 12. So I am the light of the world. In your next blank. So he, again, John lays out a lot of this in the first chapter, if you'll read that. You know, that the light came into the world, that Jesus is the life, and we'll see more about that in the next statements. So he's the light. He came. So in verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So again, a light unto our path. He guides us. He teaches us. He gives us the true light. We don't live in darkness of the world, walking away from him, if we follow him, if we know him. So I have a commentary here from Dr. David Jeremiah, verse 12. Jesus' claim would have reminded the Pharisees of historic and prophetic light in the Jewish experience. From the pillars of fire and the cloud to God's Shekinah glory that filled the temple. So the people understood in the context what he was saying, that I'm the light. I'm God's light. Light from God. He provided light for the people to travel. And then when he built the tabernacle and the temple, his glory, his light shined. It was there. But what happened to the Jewish people? Little by little, the Shekinah glory departed from the temple as Israel's rejection. Then Jesus now stood among the people, declaring that the light of the world had reappeared. He is God's Shekinah glory and has come to fill the hearts of God's people. So he is declaring, I am the light of the world. I have come to give you life. Then we go to the next one in John chapter 10. And then a couple of these go together when he's talking about the sheep. So in John chapter 10, verses 7, 8, and 9. So again, he's teaching to the multitudes of people. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It's a very interesting passage. when you read the whole context and understand about the sheep and the sheepfold. And Jesus is not only the door, he is the sheepfold. And he talks about the shepherd, which we'll see next. And so the door to go in and out, the shepherd guards, and he's there, and the door is there. But Jesus says, I am the door. No one can come in and out except through me. So a lot of things there. Again, John records the words of Jesus. Jesus in verse 1 begins talking about the sheep and about the sheepfold. So when you go back up to the context of the chapter, you know, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And so then he talks about the sheepfold and the door, and that he is the door. And then in verse 9, he makes it very clear that salvation is through him. And this then brings us to the next point, the next blank, and I am the good shepherd. He is not only the door, but then he's the shepherd. Now think about it. You know, it's hard to comprehend again from the very beginning, you know, in John's gospel, that Jesus is God, and then he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he dies on the cross, and he comes back alive. So then he's trying to talk to them in language that they understand about shepherds and sheep and the sheepfold. So he's saying, then I am the door, and at the same time, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. They laid down his life for his sheep. So that's what he's doing. So he says, Jesus guides and cares for and gave his life for the sheep. So in John, continuing down in 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. So he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So he is the good shepherd. The sheepfold, then, they come in, and the shepherd would lay down, and the sheep could not go in and out. So he says, I'm the door. You got to come through me. And then he says, I'm the good shepherd. He said, the other shepherd, the hireling, what happens? He didn't lay down in the door. And the wolves come to steal the sheep. And he goes out. He runs away. and the sheep partake in. But Jesus says, no, I'm the good shepherd. I'm there, and I lay down my life. And then he was, again, talking about the cross, giving his life. But he just shows that he cares for us. He gave his life for us. He calls us. He takes care of us. He guides us, which is that's what a shepherd does. He guides the people. And he guides the sheep. And that's what Jesus does. He cares for us, and he gave his life. So I am the good shepherd. Then we come to the next one. I am the resurrection and life. John 11:25. So another great statement that I am. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? So again, he's offering the invitation. He's declaring, I am the life. I am the resurrection. I bring life, eternal life. And he declares that. This is another strong statement that Jesus is God. Who has power over life and death? Whoever believes in Jesus will not die, but is given eternal life. Only God can give life and sustains life. And we learned about him that all things were made by him. All things are given to him. And he sustains life. And John uses that again in chapter 1. So the next one goes with that. And then the last one will connect it all. How they're related. So the next one, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he's not only the resurrection, he's the life, but now he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. So what does he mean by those things? So in this bold statement, Jesus makes it very clear. There is only one path to eternal life. Also, as God, Jesus cannot lie. Again, another declaration by John the Apostle through the Holy Spirit's guidance and the words of Jesus, recording the words of Jesus. I am God. I do not lie. I cannot lie. So he is truth. John echoes chapter 1 in verse 4 that in Jesus there is life. So let's go back to chapter 1 and see what that says. Verse 4. You know, again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So, in him was life. I am the life. And there's only one way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in 14:6 then, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, very clear. There's only one path to Jesus. Have a lot of religion going on, a lot of teaching going on from mankind. But Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, he's the door. You go through him. He is life. He doesn't lie. He's the truth. So he's declaring God's truth. I am the resurrection. I have provided life to you, eternal life. And only through me you come to him. Then to John chapter 15, and we'll close it out with these, because now he sustains life. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us new life to walk now with him. And we're new creatures. We have the old nature, but we submit to him and the Holy Spirit to guide us. So how do we do that? So he declares in John 15, verses 1 and 5, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So there it is. He says, I'm not only going to give you life, you're going to bear fruit then. I am the vine. I will sustain you. I will give you life. And that you will bear fruit. Well, what's that fruit? Not just, yes, we're living a Christian life. We're following his teachings. The fruits of the Spirit, yes. But we will also share the gospel with others. And then people will respond one way or the other. He will draw them to him. But we are to abide in him. So he says that there is not only life in Jesus, he is the source of all life. So he created, he gives life, he gives eternal life, and then he makes it possible for us to be sustained. And we believe in him, and we follow him, and we share in him. We abide in him. We're connected by the Holy Spirit. So again, from Dr. Jeremiah. As the true vine, Jesus is the source of all life. Jesus identifies two types of branches. First, fruit-bearing branches and barren branches. Appearances can be deceptive. The ones not bearing fruit may look like the other branches for a while, but their failure to yield any harvest shows that they are not. These will be removed and thrown in the fire on the last day. They're not true believers. They're not abiding in him. They're not being sustained by him. Remember up here he says, you know, that, okay, there's some that will bear much fruit, and then there's some that won't, and then they'll be cast out, but then there's the ones we will be pruned. And when you prune, you're not killing, you know. You're just trimming away. And the Lord prunes us by conviction of sin in our life daily. He's justifying us. He's sanctifying us. He's cleansing us. All of those are all this process of salvation and walking for him and abiding in him. So he keeps convicting us of our sin, pointing things out in our life that are a stumbling block to serving and sharing with others. So it's an on lifelong process. But he says, we're not lost. We can't lose our salvation. So we will bear some fruit. How much fruit depends on how much we let him. And he prunes us, and how much we walk with him and share with him. But if there's no fruit, completely barren, then you may want to question your salvation. Are you in him? So in the Old Testament, the vine often represented Israel, but usually in the negative sense, depicting Israel as unfruitful, like in Isaiah 5:4. Israel's purpose was to bear the fruit of justice and righteousness. But believers in all times are the fruit-bearing branch that John and Jesus are referring to here. We are to be fruit-bearing for him. Branches cannot bear fruit, verses 4 to 6, independent of the vine. The fundamental truth of being a Christian is that one must be connected to, abide in Jesus. And we've just been hearing through all these I ams, how do we do that? We place our trust and faith in him. We believe in him. This teaching about unfruitful branches is not a reference to believers losing their salvation. Branches are cast out, are non-believers who eventual destiny is fire. So we are to abide in him. A natural relationship of abiding in him is prayer. The most visible expressions of that relationship are his joy and love within our hearts. So again, we examine ourselves. We look to him. Are we connected? Have we believed in him? That he is the resurrection. He is the truth. And he is the life. And then we abide with him. So that's our challenge today. Examine our hearts. Examine our walk with him. And if he's not pruning in your life, if he's not convicting you daily, Again, it's not a feeling. It's not, oh, I feel like it or this. You know, we all go through those periods. But again, when we look to Him and we truly have accepted Him, then He'll be convicting us and guiding us and disciplining us. But also we'll have His joy and love for others and love for His word and the love of serving Him. So that's the challenge this morning. Have you trusted Him? Is He, you know, have you walked through that door? Have you accepted the truth and the life that He wants to give you? And then are you abiding in Him? Are you connected? Are you being fruitful for Him? So that's not a chastisement. It's an, I hope this morning, encouragement to uplift us all, that we all are to walk daily for Him and live for Him. So, thank you.